Hey guys, just breaking in at the top of the episode to apologize for the lateness of this one and let you know that we're going to try and get back on a more regular track. This one's also a little more freeform. Let us know if you like that or if you like the more outlined, structured episode. There's also a few dog noises in the background. Just ignore those. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome to the Commode Code, your comprehensive guide to restroom etiquette in the 21st century. I'm your host, Justin York, and I'm joined by my co-host, Peter Wyckoff.
Hey there.
Hey, so I think today we're just going to jump straight into talking about urinals. What do you say?
I think that's a great idea. It's an important topic.
All right. So we've touched on urinal selection before, and the basic rules I think we understand is that you leave one empty spot, if at all possible.
Yep, the buffer.
The buffer. If there's an even number of urinals, what's your position there?
I mean, I always start opposite. So if it's four wide and somebody's at hard left, I'm going hard right.
Oh, okay.
But if they're at like position two, I'm going position four to get that buffer. Generally, whatever I can do to maximize the buffer.
Right. But if there's five and they were at one, you would go to three or five? Or would you always go to five to do the maximization?
I'd probably go three or five. Five would be preferable. Sometimes, though, you've got like the low urinal for the accessible or something like that. I'd probably steer clear of that one if that was.
Is that not normally for children? I've never understood.
I think it might be, but I've seen they're in the workplace as well. You know, where kids aren't regularly there. So you never know.
Yeah. I mean, the new office that the company I'm working with moved to has a single urinal and it's a low boy.
Ooh.
And I am not a big fan of that, personally. I prefer the high urinal, but...
Is that because of the splash damage you get when you have to go a little further? You sometimes get a little more ricochet?
I'm not even sure what it is. I think it is that I associate it with childhood.
Yeah.
It might just be I have a bad association with using a smaller urinal.
Childhood urinals could be a little
traumatizing. Yeah, there might have been some trauma. Or I just want to believe I'm grown up and I deserve a big boy urinal now.
That could be, yeah. But sometimes that extra clearance is a nice thing. You know, you might get less splashback right on the junk area.
I wonder if there's been any studies done on the amount of splashback that's received by users of different height urinals.
That's a great question. We should probably dig into that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that little sticker sometimes they put on the urinal for like the aim target?
Oh, like I like it if it's an insect.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. It looks like a little fly.
Yeah. If it's just like a little curlicue, you know, that's what they have at, say, the airport near here, right? They have the little spiral.
Right.
I don't know that I find that. It's not as enticing to me, but I do understand that it is effective at getting people to urinate towards the optimal portion of the urinal.
Yeah.
Which is apparently slightly off center, right?
I believe it is.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't want to go head on. You don't want to go too low. You got to kind of hit it angled at the wall.
Right. And you can't go all the way off to the side.
You never go off the side.
Yeah. That's a big problem.
This just did remind me of a great business opportunity. Somebody's maybe already explored this space, but especially not for the workplace, but more for like a bar scenario where you could, instead of just having a little target, some sort of a little water wheel device that is, you know, in the urinal, but it's somehow attached to a scoreboard.
Oh, urinal gaming.
Yeah. So
this is the thing.
You just light that thing up. And if you can, you know, maintain a solid stream for long enough, it's, you know, scoring you up here. And then there's a leaderboard. You can tap some initials in somewhere.
Yeah.
Or something
I'm pretty sure that this is a thing.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd play that.
I think I've seen this somewhere.
Okay.
I think it may have been in Tokyo.
That seems like it could be.
Yeah. But I believe I have seen the urinal attached gaming. With urination as a mechanic somewhere in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to exist. I just wish I saw more of it around here.
An interesting thing about that is that would that entice you to break the rules of etiquette so that you could have a versus match?
Like head-to-head?
Yeah, head-to-head.
That would be good to have a co-op mode where two people can enter and like somehow like declare that it's a head-to-head battle.
Right.
And then see who wins.
That's what I was thinking. It might change your whole urinal game, right?
Yeah.
Might increase the chance that you would take a trip together with someone.
Yeah, you know? Could be fun.
could be a fun time.
Now, this is getting advanced here, but instead of just a water wheel, that would be the simple version, right?
Right.
But what if it was more like a police shootout thing where little like bad guys popped up at different places? Shoot them down. And then you might hit the innocent civilian at one point and lose 50 points or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rail shooter game or like whack-a-mole or what else would adapt well to the urinal setup?
Trophy hunter, big buck, Cabela's,
big buck hunter, whatever. Yeah.
Somehow make a golf game out of it.
Well, I was just thinking,
Golden Pea Golf.
Yeah, Golden Pea Golf.
I'm going to copyright that.
Yeah, actually, that works really well because then you're combining the getting you to aim for a very small spot.
Right.
Because obviously the hole is going to be really small.
It's a difficult shot.
Yeah. you're going for the hole in one here.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult.
Some good ideas along this.
See, the problem with golf is I feel like you need to do sort of a stop and start, and I think that's not great for your bladder.
Probably not. I mean, it might help work on some musculature down there. You know, it's like some of those exercises, especially stave off the incontinence as you get older.
Oh, see, there's all sorts of great extra uses for this technology.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the absence of this technology, if you don't have something to distract you, a screen to look at, where do you look? Are you a stare straight ahead type of person?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, in the workplace especially, it's almost a rule that you're just looking straight ahead at the wall. Some places will actually put a courtesy like reading material on the wall in front of you.
Right.
Helps you keep the eyes straight ahead, gives you something to look at. Every now and then you see somebody looking down at the phone at the urinal. I'll let that pass because, again, it's still in their vicinity. They're not, you know, looking left and right, not making eye contact with anybody. But I do prefer just the dead stare at the wall. Nothing's happening, full comatose dead stare.
And straight ahead.
Straight ahead.
Down at what you're doing.
I mean, you know, you can look down to check that everything's going okay. You don't want to deviate your stream. And, you know, if you're totally looking forward, something might happen down there. And usually you want to be looking down when you initiate.
Yes.
Make sure all cylinders are firing in the correct direction. You don't have some sort of a skew problem.
Right. But, so you need a bit of an establishing shot.
Correct.
And then you move to your coverage.
Yep.
And your coverage is just a blank wall, usually.
Slowly come up. Don't go too fast. You might, you know, misfire.
Yeah.
Slowly come up. Look at that wall. You know, I will let my eyes wander up and down ever so slightly. You know, I might start right in front of me, look at some grout lines, see how, you know, they did on the tile job. Look around up a little, down a little, maybe check the fixtures of the plumbing. Then I'm just done.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody walks in, I don't even do a quick courtesy or not courtesy. That's like not courtesy.
A discourtesy look.
Like if somebody comes in, I just straight ahead. Like
you don't check out who's pulling up.
I do the peripheral look where I'm making sure this person does not look like they're coming at me with a shiv or something like that. Could happen in the workplace.
Yeah.
But once I see that they're going clear of me, it's still straight ahead.
Now, how do you signal to someone if they've selected the incorrect urinal? This is a situation that occurs where you're, you know, most often in a three bank and you're at one of the outers and someone comes and goes mid on you.
Yep. Yep.
Is this an appropriate time to take a glance at them just real quick to let them know that you know they're there? Or do you still keep the dead stare straight ahead?
You know, I probably keep the stare straight ahead because I don't want to give mixed messages about where my glare is going.
Yeah.
Like I don't want them thinking I'm checking out anything else. But I might do some footwork or some other moves to kind of just let the person know that, you know, they've kind of invaded my space. Pay the price.
Right. So you might go into a wider stance.
Yeah, I might do a little shuffle. Like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, not quite comfortable in my stance. I'm going to go a little wider on the stance. You might see a little foot come under that that stall barrier.
Especially if there's someone who just keeps the downward gaze rather than moving to coverage, as previously stated.
Now, which I should mention, though, if somebody does this to you and they also do the power move and they give you the wide stance onto your side, honestly, at this point, it's fair game. I mean, if you need to give them an establishing shot across the bow, little misfire, a little liquid down towards their foot, hey, shouldn't have come over here, buddy. This is my zone.
So what if they establish a wide stance early and then you're the late joiner?
Late joiner on a wide stance.
Yeah, someone's come in and established a wide stance.
Yeah, I mean, I give that person a little more benefit of the doubt because I wasn't there when the wide stance happened. It wasn't as overtly aggressive.
Right.
However, I'm still not happy that they did. It's like the person who parks in two spots when they didn't need to.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
You know, use your damn spot, fit in between the lines. Otherwise, you're a douche.
Right.
So they're, you know, maybe to all go wide stance on them, accidental footsie. And maybe if they're wearing sandals, I'll maybe like splash a little.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So
you get real aggressive with that splash.
Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't line up. And wow, that thing just went went wild.
You hold no truck with a wide stance. I've always found that a very interesting maneuver to do. And I wonder, you know, how often it's conscious versus unconscious.
No, I think it very much speaks to the personality of the individual involved.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that they're, they think that they're power, they're making a power play.
Or just it's their world. You're just living in it. Yep.
So you think these are the same people who go and man spread on a public train, a public bus?
I would guess so. Same people who have their feet up on the plane seat, like behind you, like on your armrest.
Or people who recline in coach before you've even taken off.
Without the courtesy look, at least. Yeah. You know, like I rarely ever recline, and I'm fairly tall.
Yeah.
But what I do is, you know, I'll look back. If it's another tall person, never even crosses my mind again. There's no recline. Other people might disagree. They might think it's your right to recline. But, you know, I like to look out for my fellow human being.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a taller guy, too. I will only recline if it's a child behind me, typically.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, if it's a full-grown adult human, no, because I know they need the leg room.
Right, yeah.
You know.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
No. Could turn into an interesting situation. You get the wrong people behind you.
Okay, yeah. So we've got the personality of the wide stance person. We know them from all their other various...
We all know these people.
...situations in life. And so that's why you feel comfortable giving them a little splash.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, let me be clear here. I don't just randomly fire off splashes. That's like kind of last ditch effort of like something really bad has happened. Now you're getting splashed, but you know, usually I'll kind of go wide stance as well and make it a little awkward or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever ramp up the awkwardness to doing a look or doing a joke perhaps?
Man, you know, I never really think I go with a look.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be a good friend to get the look. And then that's just like inside jokes at that point.
But right.
If it's somebody I've worked with for a long time, but still we're not on a friendly basis, I'm probably not looking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just too awkward for me. Same goes with stall blinders. They're great when they're there, but they come in different shapes and sizes.
Right.
So, I mean, there's all sorts of things you can see by accident if you don't keep that gaze straightforward.
Yeah, I find the height of the stall blinder can cause a lot of very interesting situations. One restroom that I had to use a lot recently was only a single urinal, which was positioned right next to the sink.
Oh.
And it had a stall blinder.
Right.
But it was a very low stall blinder, so it only went like a couple inches above the sink counter.
Oh, goodness.
So if you were using that sink,
you
still had like a full view.
Yeah, you have full peripheral view of what's going on next to you.
It's extremely awkward restroom situation.
Yeah.
It also had two stalls, but the doors opened into each other.
What?
Very bizarre. Very suboptimal. Wow.
I wonder if there was, obviously there wasn't a camera because that's illegal,
right?
But it could have been some sort of sociologist experiment, you know, like, see how people deal with it.
Yes. How do you deal with this terrible restroom? The other thing about this restroom, I just, I want to keep complaining about this one because it really got to me, is it had an automatic sink.
Sure.
Where, you know, you try and try and it would be difficult to signal.
Yep.
But then when it did signal, it had very high water pressure and no aerator.
Oh, my
God.
So
it just dropped water very quickly.
Everywhere.
And so you're trying desperately to signal the sink, and then you get your hands under there, and then you're splashing the person at the urinal.
Yeah, this sounds like somebody definitely tried to make this bathroom a bad experience just for, like, to troll the patrons. The other thing I was going to say with the stall blinders is usually they, you know, it's not as much... like a stall has the gap coverage.
Right.
The urinal stall dividers often don't have any gap coverage because it's not as big of a deal. But so you have to be careful because sometimes you're dealing with a pretty reflective subway tile something.
Yes.
So if you do let that gaze start deviating left or right, even with a stall blinder, you can get some awkward reflections going through there. So you got to be careful.
Okay. So speaking of stall blinders, another common urinal occurrence is for someone to do a lean.
Oh, yeah.
Usually on a wall.
Yep.
I would assume this is never advised on a stall blinder.
No, I would never put any weight on a stall blinder. Yeah. I think they're purely just for the visual. They're not structural.
That's interesting because a lot of the time you will see like what looks like a really strong anchor to the wall.
Sure.
But I just imagine that they get torn off of that anchor.
Yeah.
Because they're probably not even particle board. Like.
Yeah. It's got to be lightweight going into that.
So, but what do you think about the lean against the wall, either forward or to the side if there's a side wall?
Yeah, I mean, you're really sending a message when you're doing those moves.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing that face forward lean with your head on the wall, kind of, I mean, you're basically just throwing in the towel. You're like saying my life is horrible. Everything's gone wrong. I'm exhausted and I can't even hold my head up to take a whiz with dignity.
I mean, either that or you are very, very drunk.
Could be that.
Which I guess are sort of the same thing as being exhausted and not having dignity.
Now, let's be clear. I was thinking in the workplace. If you're at a bar and you're putting a hand on the wall for steadiness or a head on the wall for steadiness, more power to you. Because you're thinking, hey, look, things aren't going well at this point. I could tip over. I'm going to brace myself for this whiz. So I'm in favor of that. But it's like you do see people in the workplace that clearly aren't drunk.
Yes.
But they're just like, they're just disheveled and they're just like leaning up head on the wall. Or sometimes you get that awkward one where they have like both hands in the air and they're like stretching with their hands behind their
just
clasp.
Sort of above your head.
It's like, what are we doing? Yoga here at the urinal?
Or? Yeah. I think like any deviation of the hands that doesn't involve putting it on a wall is extremely awkward. Right.
What are those hands doing? Like if I'm anywhere near that person, I'm nervous.
Yeah. Why are they up in the air? You got like. Two hands. I'm sorry. I'm gesticulating right now.
What about the
none of you can see.
What about the hands on the hips?
Oh, that's the real power pose, right?
Kind of with a forward hip flex kind of move.
Yeah, that's an extreme power pose, the degree of which I don't think I've ever actually seen in the
wild. I don't know if I've seen it in live. Yeah, but it's pretty impressive if somebody wants to pull that off where they take like a little bit of a step back and really just kind of arc into it.
Yeah.
With the hands on the hips.
I mean, that's a step beyond the wide stance, right?
Like
that's a person who parks in four parking spaces, right?
Like the only time I think I would appreciate that move is camping. Like if you're just stepping out of the tent, you're having beers around the campfire, somebody's got to pull over to the tree.
Just
go hands on hip. Who cares, right? There's no aim. You're just
I may have actually
wild.
Done that while camping. Like
totally
camping,
legit.
Camping, that's super
different
legit.
Ball game.
Now, what about a latrine when you're camping?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, anything where you're supposed to get the material into a target.
Yeah.
Let's be on target and you know, help with a hand.
Now, what if the target is gigantic? What if it's a trough urinal? What if you're at a ball game or whatever?
You know, in this case, what the hand is providing is some needed cover.
Okay.
So if you went on hips at the ball game at the trough, I mean, you're hanging it out in the wind there for everybody to see. It's kind of awkward. I think the hand provides the much needed, cover fire.
Now, how much of a buffer do you think is appropriate at a trough?
Man, the trough is a tough thing to negotiate. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, if you're standing feet shoulder width apart, you need to have a couple of inches between the next person's feet.
Right.
Shoulder width apart. So if you have to do anything like bring your feet in tighter to get into a spot, that spot wasn't really available.
Okay. Yeah.
You've made a poor choice.
Yeah, I feel like the only time that really becomes like a problem is at, say, like halftime or seventh inning stretch or whatever. But yeah, it can get a little crowded at the trough. And that, you don't like someone jockeying you.
No.
It's true.
Well, and then that brings in the whole other, you know, the interesting scenario called stage fright, where you pull up to the trough and then somebody booms in your personal space. You can't get that stream started.
Oh.
And then it's just awkward because somebody else is waiting for your spot. And you're at the trough, so people might see there's no stream. They're like, what's wrong with this guy? Do we need to call in a medic? So speaking of troughs and eye contact, kind of bring it all a full circle here. 10, 15 years ago, I don't even remember, quite a long time ago, I was visiting family back in Pittsburgh, went to a Steelers game, and I haven't been to one in a long time. just like you said, it was in between the half or whatever. Yeah. And I ran to the restroom and they had a trough still at the time. And, I get my spot at the trough midway through the whiz. I kind of like feel a presence around me. Like either somebody's making eye contact or,
right.
You know, it's just, you know, when you can tell that something's off. And I look over and it's like my former college roommate who I haven't seen in like 6 years.
Ooh.
Just happened to be taking a whiz at the trough with me. So it was that was one time where the eye contact came in handy. Otherwise, we might have not said hi.
Yeah, you'd never know who that was.
Yeah, a chance meeting at the trough.
Now, here's an interesting situation that is rare, but I have encountered, which is mirrors mounted above the urinal.
I don't know what the hell's happening.
You've never
there.
Seen that?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what is that? So you can check your, like, are we talking facing you or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
facing you.
Yeah, not sorry, ceiling. He pointed to the ceiling.
Like, that's definitely bad because I don't want to. Yeah. But like, what are you doing? Checking your makeup at that point or?
Well, see, that's
like,
what
checking
I'm wondering.
Like your general demeanor. Like,
I don't know grooming. What the intended purpose of that is.
Making you feel shame.
Maybe. So, but. I guess the question I have is, can you make bounce eye contact with someone in the mirror?
Well, that's going to happen and you don't want it to, but it's like all of a sudden it's like just a quick
cause otherwise,
gaze right. To,
Yeah. Cause otherwise you're staring into your own eye.
Right.
It's worse than just looking at the grouting or whatever.
That would almost be the creepiest if you walk in and somebody's just staring themselves down in the mirror straight ahead as they're having a whiz.
I'm actually imagining a situation. So what if you're at the urinal? Someone walks in, pulls up to the urinal, just starts looking at themselves in that mirror.
Yep.
Just for a little while.
Yep.
And say they wait just, you know, 10 seconds longer than you think would be normal to unzip.
Oh.
Like the unzip comes 10 seconds after they've pulled up.
That's weird. That's a little strange.
Yeah.
Or they do the slow, provocative unzip instead of just a quick to the point.
Not the business unzip.
Right. No.
This is the
Speaking of
the party in the back unzip.
Who the hell invented button flies? Those things are just horrible. You can't use those at the urinal.
I think those existed before zippers. I
know. Exactly, but like they still sell them.
Yeah why do they still exist?
You can't pull up to a urinal and use one without de-panting, basically. I haven't had a set in a long time, but I remember trying to use a urinal with a button fly and I was like, just very confused. I was very unhappy.
This is where you might have to bring the wide stance into it, right? Mm-hmm. Like that may actually be why some people have gotten into this wide stance phenomenon is you need to keep those pants up.
Right.
Even if you're undoing all of your fasteners, right? Yeah,
that's a good point.
Which is...
Or you have to go just like full second grade style. You just drop them to your knees and just go bare buns.
See, I mean, people do that.
We should talk about that at the urinal. That does happen. It's rare as hell.
At the urinal? Yeah.
Adult bare buns at the urinal.
Yes.
I mean, sure, a little kid doesn't know any better.
Right.
But adult bare buns at the urinal? We've got some serious questions.
Let's dig into it because I got... nothing else on my mind right now other than the fact that I think you've seen this.
I feel like I have, or at least it's been discussed in my presence. If I really saw it, it's probably blacked out because of the trauma involved.
But right.
Like I do remember hearing somebody at least telling me about this, where somebody was fully adult, full bare buns at the urinal.
So, you know, the situations where I could see this happening are sort of rare.
Sure.
I guess they would involve types of pants.
Right.
You know, you're wearing some spandex, some lycra, really
you
tight.
Might have to pull,
right?
Yeah, a little lower on those. Or maybe like some nice dress pants where you did undo the waist clasp and they slipped low. But I think what I've understood is this does happen in the wild sometimes where an adult just prefers to go low pant.
That's a very interesting phenomenon that I had not considered before.
Yeah, no, hopefully you'll never have to see it in the wild. Yeah. It's hard to get that image out of your retinas.
Yeah, I mean, it would just be quite a shock, especially in a workplace scenario.
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine someone who you haven't encountered that with before?
Though that would be a pretty good troll if you knew like somebody was coming in after you.
Oh, too. Just go.
Pants around the ankles.
Yeah. Just be like, hey.
Like I can think of one individual that we used to work with that would really appreciate something like
that. Yeah, well, the urinal jokester. If someone is a urinal jokester and they've, you know, performed many violations in the past, then it's okay to escalate to get back to them. I think we've established that, you know, if someone has a pattern of irresponsibility, it can be okay to escalate,
exactly,
to retaliate.
Of course, though, the joke would be on you because you'd try to do this, you drop the trowel, and then like your boss comes in, or the boss's boss's boss comes in.
Yeah, or your pants fall all the way to the floor and there's a puddle there. Yeah. Then you're in real trouble.
Yeah, I think this is a horrible idea.
Yeah. So let's try not to do that.
Yeah.
Do you discourage someone who you encounter doing that? Do you have a way?
Oh, man.
See, because I'm thinking, again, of that same person, the escalation that they would do, clearly to be to give you a little slap on the tuchus and give you a good game, right?
It could land you a new job in the wrong scenario.
It could, but the specific scenario that you were referring
to,
with the specific person you're referring
to, I guess
if I could see this happening.
Right. I mean, I think if I wasn't sure of the individual or something like that, I might walk in and kind of just make a grumbly noise and leave, just to kind of maybe leave some awkwardness in the air. Like that person was thinking, oh, shit, did I just offend that person?
Right. That is an amazing form of escalation.
Smack them in the tuchus.
Well, that's the best I could come up
with. That's good.
I mean, the other thing you can do is if you've got the urinal prankster, right? And then they are in there. What if they, I'm trying to think of a way you could pants them.
But
I don't know that there's really a situation where you could do that without causing a lot of collateral problems.
I did have a coworker who once knew that I was in the stall. Probably, again, I've talked about this. I was probably wearing some footwear or hanging a badge that was legible. Big failure on my part. But what they did is they used the urinal and then they went to the sink to wash up.
Right.
Wet some paper towels and started lobbing them into my stall. So pretty powerful move on their part, because if it was the wrong individual in the stall, they could have, you know, run into some trouble.
Yeah.
But they must have been confident it was me. And of course, I tried to maintain the stall barrier silence, but at the same time, I'm being pelted with like soaking paper towels. So I had to say, what the?
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's a very interesting and aggressive maneuver.
It was. Yeah.
Let's see what else is good to talk about the urinal. I think we've covered the flatulence situation. Pretty much let it go, right?
Yeah, pretty much let it go. I mean, I try not to rip one when there's somebody right next to me, or, you know, I'll wait till they make it over to the sinks at least or something like that, before I just fire at will. But hopefully you can hold a bit. And of course, you always have to be careful about the shart scenario. We've talked in depth about that.
In depth about the shart.
Yeah, you don't want to accidentally fire the wrong one off at the urinal.
Now, a topic I ran into relatively recently was letting it mellow. So I was in a workplace with a manual flush urinal.
Okay.
And there's been a couple times I've gone in there and someone has let it mellow.
Right.
It's been notably yellow.
I was just going to ask, was it pale straw? Golden
yellow? It was
dark
more
amber.
Wasn't to the dark amber. That's... If it was dark amber and I knew who did it,
right,
I would feel obligated to tell them to be like, you need to get some more hydration.
Right.
I mean, it was still yellow enough that I was worried about this individual's hydration status.
Now, it does look worse in a urinal because it's less diluted.
That's true.
We are used to, if you see it in a toilet bowl, you're mixing the urine with, you know, a decent amount of water.
Right.
But that said, if they're leaving behind something pretty dark yellow.
Well, yeah. Once you've moved beyond Budweiser in the scale, right? Like, you've seen that that beer scale, right? Like,
if you
Guinness is to go to the emergency room.
What's the amber equivalent on that scale?
Oh, I forget.
Something.
It's like a
Killian's Irish Red
or something.
It's probably like on that scale.
And that's where you're desperately dehydrated, right? Like, you need to get water and you immediately.
Yeah.
But you don't want water. You want a good Coors Light.
Oh, gotcha. Right? That makes sense. Yeah. It's more nutritive.
Yes. That's what you want in your urinal. But
So they left a yellow one.
They left one, and it was a bit yellower than one would normally desire, but that's fine. I'm not going to judge their hydration that harshly. But is there anything, like, is this okay if you haven't pre-agreed to this?
Right.
Like, if you have a house policy that you let it mellow,
right?
I totally understand that,
sure,
right? But at the same time, even if I have that house policy that I'm going to let it mellow, I'd probably go around and flush the toilets before company came over.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, it's just kind of courtesy, just cleanliness. And in the workplace, I mean, I'm glad you specified that it was a manual flush mechanism.
Right.
Because obviously, if it was an auto flush, we could assume a failure on that mechanism.
Yeah, that could have just been a
misfire. The individual wasn't to blame. It sounds like in this case, I mean, there could still be the case where they did flip the lever, but it didn't do a good job flushing. It just did a little splash.
Right.
But I would like to, like, when I'm using one of those manual flush mechanisms, I'll hold it a little extra, make sure it clears itself out.
Yeah, make
unless
sure
it looks like we've got an overflow situation or something like that. But so I think this is a bit of a failure in the workplace.
Okay.
Just in the common courtesy thing.
Now, I saw an image on the internet recently, I think I sent to you, link in the show notes, of a auto flusher, but one that's meant for a toilet.
Yes.
With the one and the three. How would you choose? This is just in a hypothetical situation.
I hope more people have seen this. I know you'll post it in the notes, but it made its rounds. It, I think it's the ultimate troll as far as I can tell. I mean, it's like, how do you possibly choose if you need the deep flush versus the surface flush? Yeah.
I think that would be, that's kind of an amazing thing to just like install accidentally on the flusher.
I mean, if somebody was really trolling it back, they would fire a floater off into the urinal and then hit the deep flush with no response. Sorry, crew. I used the right flush.
What are you going to do? Leave a note for the janitorial and they're going to pass it out to the contractor, right?
Like, the contractor's clearly to blame.
I mean, obviously, if you ordered, if you were the one who hired this contractor, I would ask for a replacement on that.
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise, you're just confusing individuals.
Yeah. Oh man, now that we're talking about flushers, I have another thing about flushers.
Oh, fantastic.
I just need to pull up on the internet. That's,
there's nothing worse than the flush mechanisms that don't work. Like sometimes you get the, it's like the handle, but it's more of a dial. See those. I used to see them in like elementary school and stuff like that. And it also brings up the question about what about the full length urinals?
Oh, the full
Costco
length,
style.
The tall ones.
They still have those at Costco's?
Last time I was in a Costco restroom, they definitely did.
I think those are the greatest things ever invented. It's overkill, but it probably reduces weight, a mess especially, right?
Yeah, I think, do you think they do that? Does it make it less cleanup because you don't have to clean
There's no drips, right? I mean, there still could be some drips.
There could still be some, but it
you
would
really
be
have to
less right on the floor.
Yeah.
And so you only really need to clean up when it's time to do like a deep clean of the thing itself.
Exactly.
Of the urinal. Okay. I can't actually find the thing I was looking for on the internet. Basically, there was a urinal flush system called the Pint that I've seen on some urinals.
Yep.
And what it would say is something like the Pint uses 88% less water than a 1 gallon per flush, but it had it worded very badly.
Oh,
I was
gotcha.
Trying to find it. And this was where, you know, you look around at the fixtures and you see this thing and it just bugs you every single time. Yeah, here it is. I found it. Okay. This urinal flushes with only 16 ounces of water, saving 88% more water per use than a standard 1 gallon urinal. That's just terrible wording.
Yeah.
Because it's using 12.5% of the water.
Gotcha.
That's fine. So you could say it uses 88% less water, but instead it says saving 88% more water, which just the math doesn't work out.
Yep. I don't like it.
And so I saw this every time that I was in a certain location that I was in a lot and I was going to the urinal. And this is, you know, I'm not great at just the straight ahead at the wall.
Sure.
I wander a little bit up and down. Mm. And whenever my eyes would wander down, they'd go straight to the flush mechanism and read the sentence that annoyed me with its terrible mathematics. Anyways,
that's frustrating.
Yeah, that was a frustrating situation.
That mechanism reminds me of the whole subject of these completely flushless urinals.
Yes.
And I still don't understand how they work and what the black magic is behind that.
Well, I mean, it mostly just works through a gravity drainage system, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
some pooling must occur. I mean,
there must be some small pooling, yeah, but I think it's underneath the like visible drain, right?
Yeah, it just makes me a little nervous. It's,
yeah. I assume that like the cleaning process for those involves like just flushing them with a bucket.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
I would guess like the first thing you do when you go and clean those is you just pour a little bucket of water down it, and then you scrub the sides, right? You do whatever you're going to do.
I guess so, yeah. I do think there's been a few. I haven't used them very often, but when I have, I think I've caught some bad odors coming out of them.
Right.
So I think it's maybe they are a little more prone to the. I mean, like you said, there's going to be a little pooling there, and it's going to be.
Yeah, not, I think that's why they tried to put like a drain cover with a deodorizer or a scent.
Yes.
Moving on to scents.
Oh,
then,
yeah.
What's your favorite urinal scent that you've encountered?
Yeah, there's that. I don't know. There's a company around here that has quite the wide range of scented urinal mats. I can't think of a favorite. I can think of some that I really don't like. There was the bright green one that I couldn't identify as. It definitely wasn't lime, and it was maybe some sort of melon or something going on, but that was disgusting.
It was definitely fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fruit-based, and I don't think it was green apple. You know, I was trying to equate it to a Jolly Rancher flavor based on the color, but it was not so good. There was a bright orange one that was maybe tolerable, but...
Yeah.
A lot of times, though, they're overly strong in the scent.
Oh, especially when it's first deployed.
Fresh, and they're blinding.
Yeah, when the cinnamon ones came once, it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't come in here to take a shot of Fireball.
Exactly. Now, I appreciate a little cover scent.
Yes.
Obviously, you don't want to just smell full Whiz all the time or Duke, whatever's floating around in that bathroom. But, yeah, when it's to that level of extreme where it's almost hurting your eyes at the urinal, you're like, this probably isn't healthy.
What do you think about those little squirters that squirt out scent like every minute or two?
Oh, those things horrify
me. Little farters.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're just up above with a little hose and then you'll hear it go like, and you're like, what the hell was that? And then you run because you don't want to get doused in this like, you know, like horrible chemical that's, you know, in the state of California causes cancer.
Yeah. It's super concentrated when it comes out, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's,
yeah, not a fan of those.
And it only makes that noise, you know, one out of every 10 times you go into the bathroom, maybe, because it goes every 5 minutes or whatever. And you're like, so it's always a surprise.
Yeah.
It's never fully expected.
Agreed. At our, my current workplace, and at least in the public restrooms, not in the executive stalls, which are the single seaters, they have the aromatherapy thing going, the little scented vaporizer thing going. Yeah. And it's a bit strong, but again, much happier to smell like some sandalwood funk instead of human funk.
Yeah. I think that's actually a really nice way to do it is with one of those diffusers that can just keep going all day.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a nice standard level.
Yep. Not too bad.
Yeah. Okay. I guess the only other thing I had on my list about urinals right now was some interesting layouts.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little about the trough and the urinal directly next to the sink.
Right.
I've got a photo in here of a setup with three urinals against three walls of a room.
Exactly.
And I've also encountered a situation with seven urinals where there were three on each of the two side walls and then one on the third wall.
My
in
gosh.
A bank. Yeah. And what do you think about third wall urinals?
I'm not down with the third wall.
Yeah.
I'm okay with the opposite walls. Like lots of airports will have that layout where you walk in, one compartment's urinals, it's three and three, east and west wall.
Right.
Nothing on that third wall.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to be that guy at the lone urinal at the third wall that gets stepped on by the people trying to get out of the side walls.
I can't figure out why it's so off-putting though. Like this one that I've got in our show notes here, like there's tons of room between the three people, but it's extremely off-putting in a way that
it is,
you know, having even if like two of them were on one wall and one was on the other, that would still be weird for the asymmetry, but I don't know. It's very odd.
Something about it. I mean, even though if you're doing the look ahead maneuver, you're not really seeing anything, you know, on each of those other walls. it still feels like just one misstep at the same time, and you're bumping into somebody, you know, in the bathroom, making physical contact when you don't want to, kind of thing.
Now, what about the situation where there's a pillar with four urinals around it? Mm. Have you seen this situation?
You know, if I have, I'm not remembering it, but that is, well,
you're blocking it out again.
I mean, that kind of reminds me of the old fashioned thing they had in the outdoor Paris, which was like around the horn, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But again, I mean, you're just begging for eye contact there, right? So it's like,
yeah, super exactly. Awkward. There's no real way to avoid it. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's like the, you know, it's like taking a shower in gym class, but way worse.
Yes. Yeah. There was nothing worse. Like occasionally it would be a gym with a circular shower layout where, yeah, no good.
Okay. So you came out sort of on the side of it's okay to use your phone when you're at the urinal, you know, do a one-handed browsing, read your Twitter feed, whatever.
Sure.
What do you think about headphones when you're at the urinal?
You know, in general, I'm okay with headphones in the restroom, as long as you're not doing anything awkward with them, like obviously bobbing your head, dancing at the urinal.
Uh-huh.
Not cool. Like it's just because somebody's going to see that peripherally thrown off their game. Obviously, you don't want to be on a phone call at the urinal. We've discussed that in length and, you know, in the stalls and even at the urinals, you have to be a little careful if you're putting a headphone in and out. Sometimes they're slippery. If it's an AirPod, thing might nibble it, goes right into the drink.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the worry with these wireless headphones. Sure. Yeah. Especially AirPods and similar, where it's just single unit for each ear. That's very scary to go in or out. But if you've got them pre-mounted, is it okay to like wear them into the bathroom?
Yeah, I think so.
Through the whole operation.
I think so. Yeah, okay. I mean, today's busy culture. I mean, we're all on calls and stuff like that. Just please, folks, make sure you're muted when you enter the restroom. Don't accidentally like have toilets flushing in the background on the conference call, something like that.
Yeah, no, I prefer to not do this while on an actual phone call. Sure. But it's just, you know.
But sometimes nature calls, you're on a phone call.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's more, you know, this is my time.
That's right.
Catch up on my podcast.
That's right.
You know.
Here's a question for you. So you're, let's say you do have that worst case scenario accident where you drop a niblet into a urinal or into a toilet. Do you go in after it?
That is a very difficult question. Okay. A clean toilet, I think you definitely do.
Okay.
Like if you haven't messed the bowl already, you do. A clean urinal, probably do.
Yeah, I think you do.
Once you've dirtied either one, then it becomes
a much more fraught Sophie's Choice
situation. Yeah, especially because, you know, these things, I haven't encountered one that's rated for waterproof. Like I know a lot of them have like slight resistance, but you could be, you know, depending how long it's going to spend in there, you could be looking at a, you know, going in to a used toilet to retrieve something that's no longer functional.
You're fishing out a dead fish at that point.
But at the same time, you're talking about you're trying to fish out something that's like $60 or something. It's like, that's not nothing. That's not something I'm excited to flush. Let's put it that way, right?
Like if the phone falls in for whatever godforsaken reason, I guess you're going bloop right in after
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah. I believe there was an unfortunate story out of somewhere in Asia where somebody had something fall into a deeper toilet and went in after it and didn't make it.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But that's, you know, it's a sad story that we'll leave for another show.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Just saying, folks, it's not always worth going in after it.
Yeah. But I, you know, there are things that's, you know, your wedding ring, your, you know, engagement ring.
Let me be crystal clear here.
Yeah.
If I'm at some sort of a dump toilet, like a large, like outhouse situation and my wedding ring goes in there, I'm getting a new wedding ring.
Okay. Yes.
Done deal. 100% done. Don't care what that sucker cost. I mean, maybe I'll call the company and
be like, hey,
I'll pay you guys some money if you.
That's true. Yeah. If it's a latrine type situation even if it's just a honey bucket.
Right.
Yeah, that's not somewhere you want to be.
Speaking of urinal talk, I just would like to applaud the Honey Bucket Company for finally, over the last 10 years, incorporating plastic urinal into the honey bucket.
Oh yeah,
so much better than the messiness of the normal seat that the women had to use as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the honey bucket design has definitely improved, and it's one of the best, you know, of these outhouse designs I've seen is the one that the honey bucket company here in the Northwest employs.
Yeah.
Because you're always guaranteed to have that urinal, which helps keep the seat clean.
Yep.
And so you have a cleaner seat most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively spacious inside.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they always mount a hand sanitizer inside each unit.
Sometimes not full, but yes.
At least
they're trying.
Full.
They're trying.
Yeah, they're trying, right?
Yep.
And so you get like, you could do the full service. You know, you could do your business and you can get a squirt out the hand sanitizer on one hand, open the door with the other hand, and then immediately sanitize soon as you get out.
Yep.
I really enjoy having that technology available.
So. Yep. So, agreed.
Get in touch if you want to sponsor the show, Honey Bucket. It's free ad read right
That's
there.
Right.
All right. I think that wraps it up for this week. You can find show notes for this week at commode.show/5. The show's on Twitter and Facebook as Commode Code. You could find me on Twitter at Bang False. Peter's on Twitter as The Mad Crapper. If you'd like us to answer your questions on the show, tweet with hashtag Deucedrop or go to our website at commode.show and we have a contact form. You can get in touch with us there. Our music's by audionautics.com. Please help us out by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. If any of your friends might like this sort of thing, please pass it on to them. Thanks for listening.
See ya.